Let's pray. Our God and our Father, how we thank you, how you've kept us, how you've watched over us, how you've carried us through all of 2021. And now, God, here we stand at the end of 1 year, looking into the next year. And we thank you, God, that you've given us one more opportunity to hear your voice, to hear your instructions, to allow us to be challenged and charged and changed by what your word says. So, God, to that end, I'm available to you now to stand in my body and think with my mind and speak with my tongue. I ask for preaching power, grace, and strength to the end that you might allow me to communicate your heart, your will to your people, and let them hear your voice in your tenor and in your tone. And then, God, mobilize us into what you've called us to be in these days, in this time, in our cities. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, I want to talk about taking our Christmas presents out of the box. Not the presents that were under the tree, but our Christmas presents. I'm still dealing with the incarnation of Jesus and his incarnated presence, him being Emmanuel, God with us. Listen, presents left in the box are useless. They are no fun. It's not fun until you put the Legos together, until you set up all the little green army men, until you launch Barbie into the fashion icon that she's intended to be. If you leave them in the box, you don't get any use out of them. They're not fun. One of the worst traumatic experiences I ever had as a young father was spending all this time, effort, and energy getting these little toddlers Christmas presents and then wrapping them up, putting them under the tree, only for them to rip open the paper, open up the box, and then play with the box. They left the presents on the side to play with the box. Listen, Jesus's incarnation, his presence with us, is intended to be used. Now, when I say that, I got to be cautious because there's a certain brand of Christianity, one that I'm very familiar with, that sees what Jesus's incarnation, what they see it as being about, is completely different from how I now see it. There's one guy, a very famous theologian, who wrote, his book was called The Basic Theology. And he listed seven purposes of the incarnation, stuff like Jesus was incarnated to reveal God to us, to provide us with an example of how we are to live our lives, to be an effective sacrifice for sin. That sounds like a real good one. To destroy the works of the devil based upon 1 John, to be a sympathetic high priest based upon the picture that the author shows in the book of Hebrews, to be a qualified judge. All of those things are true, but the problem is that that sees Jesus's incarnation and his mission only as salvific, that he only came to save, that Jesus's mindset was only on getting all of us to heaven. But if you read scripture carefully, you'll discover that the way Jesus talked about his mission was different from that box that we have put him in. Look what Jesus says in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. As he's at the beginning of his earthly ministry, he stands up in the synagogue in his hometown and he grabs the scroll from Isaiah 61 and he reads this passage of scripture, which he then ascribes himself to himself. And this is what he sees, why he came in flesh, why he took on humanity, why he becomes a human even into eternity. Watch this. He reads this in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19 from the New Living Translation. Jesus reads this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." Now, I want you to check that out. Don't run off the scripture too quick. Notice this, that even in our transliteration of what Jesus reads from Isaiah 61, we capitalize good news because we see the gospel as only salvific, the good news. But Jesus says he came to preach good news to the poor. To poor people, good news is not that one day you will be saved. Good news is I got five on it. Somebody already missed me. Listen, Jesus seems to state that he saw his mission as both salvific and social and societal at the same time. He didn't exclude one with the other. His incarnation was intended to impact both the eternal and the temporal, that which is in time. He says that he's focused on things, as he lists the good news to the poor and the releasing of the captives and setting at liberty the oppressed. Those were things that in the Old Testament, both in the Levitical law and then later in the prophets, were issues that were referred to as righteousness. The Old Testament called those issues righteousness. We would call them social justice issues. Watch this. The thing that's kind of baffling to our westernized, after the colonists got done with us, the colonizers, what they did to us, that we think that if you're going to come and you're going to upset the order and you're going to set at liberty the captives and you're going to free the oppressed, then you got to show up with an army or some kind of political or military or economic power to upset the natural order of things. But Jesus doesn't do any of that. He is born in a stable. He's born to lower class parents. He's born to a non-white ethnic group that lives in a police state. He shows up as one of those individuals that needs to be freed. Weird thing, like in our minds, in our American minds, we think of Jesus should show up with, you know, as Rambo or somebody like that, that he should show up like Superman, like, that he should show up as one of the Avengers. But Jesus doesn't do any of that. Matter of fact, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9 says that the generous grace of our Lord Jesus is seen in that though he was rich, for our sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make us rich. Check this out. Jesus takes on the humanity of the oppressed. He takes on the humanity that it, in his incarnation, he becomes one of the people that needs help. So that begs the question, why would Jesus come for that group? The oppressed, the prisoners, the poor, the blind, the brokenhearted. Why is that? Perhaps it's because there are more people in the world that fit those categories and those life circumstances and what philosophers call that zeitgeist. They fit that understanding of the world and of their life more so as the oppressed and the downtrodden than the one percenters who have the wealth and the poverty and the power. Jesus shows up as one of the underclass oppressed and chooses that and identified with that group in his incarnation because it fits his MO. It's what he has always done. He takes a people who are not a people and makes them a nation. He takes them from a landless nation and puts them into a nation. He shows up in the midst of this ethnic group that is oppressed by an outside force, and he chooses to work from within that in order to bring about that liberty. Check it out. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 27, God's MO is laid out. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. See, he doesn't show up with tanks and he doesn't show up with F-16s. He shows up within the group to then lift the group from the inside out. Jesus embodies the lift as you rise mandate that W.E.B. Du Bois put on the talented 10th, those African Americans who were afforded education in the late 1800s, early 1900s, because he wanted them, now that you have this opportunity, that to use your advantage as a means of liberation and advancement for your people. Jesus has the same mindset that I'm going to be one of you and we're going to lift from the inside and we're going to rise together. Now check this out. How Jesus changes the world and how he defeats the sin contaminated system that oppresses people is through the means of being one of those who is oppressed by those systems of the world. Listen, Jesus shows up as Emmanuel, as one of us, because he wants to change the world, because he wants to lift as we rise, that he wants to work from within the power structures to then recreate new things. It's not just for when you get to heaven, it's how to help deal with the issues in the here and now. See, Jesus's incarnation demands that we incarnate his cause of righteousness or social justice in the here and now until we get to the not yet. But now remember, he's Emmanuel. He's God with us. He's God in us. He wants to enter into these systems that have oppressed people, that keep them blind, that keep them poor, and he wants to preach good news. He wants to bring the resources of heaven for those who are in need, and he wants to lift them out of these systems and bring them into new experiences and bring them into new understanding and to liberate them from the things that have oppressed them. But he's Emmanuel. He's God with us. See, Jesus came to break the chains of poverty and oppression. He came to bring liberation. He came to apply what heaven has for those who need them. But that means he can't get to them unless Emmanuel, we take him with us. Somebody's already seeing where I'm going. We have to take the Christmas presence of Jesus out of the box that says he's only here to save my eternal soul. And we got to put him in the streets. And we got to put him into use. And we've got to put him into practice. And so I'm challenging us at the last Sunday of the year to recognize that as the world has been shifting and as there's this struggle between the old way of doing things and what some call wokeness and all this other foolishness that's happening in our world, it's as if times are prepared for a people who follow a Savior who leads from within and breaks out. And we've got to take him to where the needs are. And so I'm challenging all of us that as we prepare for 2022, we got to be prepared to be used for purpose and for the kingdom mandates and the mission like never before. That God has set us up and is setting us up as his people, that we could take the Emmanuel that we have, the Christmas presents that we have been given, and take him to where he wants to go and to meet the needs that he came to earth as a human to meet. We've got to take him there. We have to take the Christmas presence of God out of the box of our religion that says that Jesus only fits here. And we've got to take him to some other places. And that's why we participate in missions. That's why we participate and are going to participate even more in social justice issues. That's why I'm so proud of Sister Lisa Tolbert. And she organized a whole drive to gather up toys to take to the kids at Patches. She took the Christmas presents of Jesus out of the box and put him in the street. And that's what God is calling us to do on deeper levels than we've ever known and participated before in 2022. So as God brings 2021 to an end, just recognize that the Christmas presence of God that he put in our box, he's ready to take it out and he's ready to use it and have fun with it and make it useful for the whole reason why he came. May the power of God in us be ready to be used by us, out of us. Can I pray for us? Father, we thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name for all that you have given us in Jesus, your Son. We thank you that he took on our humanity, that he knows what it's like, that he has experienced everything that we experience. He has existed in the same vein that we have, that he is a human even into eternity so that we can fully relate to who you are and how you are and how you intend to be. But God, we recognize that we can't just stay stuck with thanking you for our salvation, but we want to participate in the whole reason why you came, to take the good news to the poor, to break poverty, to break oppression, to be participating in bringing about your righteous acts in an unrighteous earth. Lord, this is bigger than wokeness. This is kingdom that you're calling us to. And God, I pray that All that we have gone through in 2020 and 2021 has set us up and prepared us mentally and spiritually and even emotionally to be used by you, take you out of the box, and to play with our Christmas presents in the streets. Lord, we give you glory because we don't know what that's going to look like, but it's going to take our faith. We don't know what it's going to feel like, but we trust you. And so, Lord, we thank you in advance for how you're going to get the maximize the best use out of all of us as we move forward. In Jesus' name, amen. It's time to take the Christmas presents of Jesus out of the box.